to see us.
So I'm really glad I was able to get down here. I was up in Davis, not planning to come down, but I was talking to my SPT and Planck colleagues, and clearly this was the place to be. And despite things I should be doing in Davis, I decided I had to come down here. And so thank you for the organizers for putting together such a fantastic meeting. So during the coffee break, I was asked if I would expand from 5 minutes of remarks intended to cause discussion to 20 minutes. That's what I've been doing during this session, is putting together a little talk that's intended to stimulate some discussion. I should say that, so I'm talking about lensing oddities, and so I should say I am not a member of the Planck Lensing Working Group, and so I want to, it's maybe a little bit odd to say this, but I think it's a great paper. I think my colleagues in the Lensing Working Group have done a great job, and one of the things I really like about it is it's clear, it's showing, you know, what is robust, what isn't. It's just laying things out there. I think it's a great paper. So you all know what gravitational lensing is, of course, but it's quite new, being able to exploit this with the CMB, right? So ACT detecting this at 4 sigma, SPT at 6 sigma, I won't bother explaining what that does there. But let me just go straight into. So there's just four aspects of the Planck data that are connected to lensing in some way, and that are a little bit odd. Okay, and so let's run through them. So if we go to, you saw this in Grasse's talk yesterday, going to higher LMAX in Planck temperature power spectrum steadily drives one away from the WMAP parameter values and toward the Planck ones. Now you might think, well, why is this an oddity? Well, I mean, it would be a little more reassuring if you saw things jumping around along the way, but it's a steady move in the parameter shift. So that's a little odd. What does it have to do with lensing? Well, it's actually not totally clear what it has to do with lensing, but it's a parameter shift that definitely increases CMB lensing power. And if we look at the reconstructed lensing power from Planck, it's a little bit high at L50. And a bit low at L200. This decrement here is robust, and it's also seen, although not with really high weight, in SPT and ACT, and what's been published already. Now, so the power relative to a best fit model at 200 is a little bit low, right? So together the shape looks a little bit different. The third oddity, if you ask the Planck temperature power spectrum data if it artificially wants more lensing power, you just let it says yes, please, thank you very much. So that's odd. Why is that? And then this is not an oddity, but it's certainly related to three. If you ask the same thing of the lensing reconstruction from the dry spectrum, it says thanks for asking, but no, I am quite content. And then fourth, related to 2 and 3, the neutrino constraints, which from the CMB power spectrum are driven by the lensing information that's in there, and are fairly tight, don't want a neutrino mass. These weaken when you add in more information. So the trispectrum is actually wanting something different as far as neutrino masses go. So Are these flukes? You know, none of these are very strong indications, or is the universe trying to tell us something? So let me just go into more about what these things are. Here is, like Grasse showed, except slightly different in a different way, how this parameter shift. So I'm just first going to go through these different points. Here's the parameter shift that occurs as just, we're just singling out H naught here, but The shifts that occur in H naught and omega matter are really, you'd see the same thing if I plotted omega matter converging down. So at Lmax equals 1,000, we're up here at the WMAP value, and then as you go to Lmax equals 1,500, you come down some, and then to 2,000, you've converged to the final value that you have over here. What just happened?
What if you're directly in one line?
What's that?
What if you're directly in one line?
Right. Usually, let that be a reminder to everybody to turn off their connections or defriend Olivia on Skype. Or, all right. So that's I'm calling that odd because, you know, why do we have this trend? And, you know, as it says, so what? Yeah, maybe so what? It's odd to call it on. Okay. I don't know. Okay, so I should break it up more finely, but. So, all right, good. Provoking discussion as intended. So here's what I was saying before with L equals 50 a little high, L equals 200 a little bit low, and you can see that in the residuals. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So, if
take the mic.
Everything.
Take the mic.
We have this oddity at 200 when it goes a little bit low, and you're saying the same thing is happening at SPT and ACT.
Yeah.
So if you combine all together, because it should be fairly independent.
I'll show you. Here we have SPT and ACT as well. And so it's just, you know, so the errors are, these are independent, SPT and ACT. They're both coming down low in the same region. Yeah. Yeah, but I got four different points.
with the new point
that you have seen. Is this still down with the new SPT points that you have seen?
So, Oliver?
Ooh, I almost got you.
Sorry? Did Oliver depart?
Yes.
I'm not sure about the level of correlation. I mean, right here, these two points on their own.
Say that again. Well, this is a small part of the sky, so.
He's asking across L. Yeah. So, well, this L of 50 point that in the minimum variance combination is a little bit high, it's not actually that robust. So maybe that's not, let me knock down one of my own clues. It's not clear what that's telling us. So you're going after me for saying that you know, these things aren't that significant. But this shape information, this being high and this being low, is what's providing that is the origin of the tension between the tri-spectrum and the power spectrum on the neutrino mass constraints. So it is being picked up in the fits.
I guess the smearing the peaks of the TT power spectrum, the convolution of original TT was this curve, right? So which
the model
part of
curve
the
here. Yeah.
Which part of the spectrum in this region? So for example, the TT power spectrum smearing is completely insensitive to what's going on L greater than 100 in this picture.
Not completely insensitive, but it is shifted somewhat towards lower L, and that's one of the things. You know, so this being high, and the fact that the lensing from the TT apparently wants, you know, significant lensing power, may be related, although this, you know, it's not clear.
So,
that
so if you
this
do
really
the polynomial fit to this curve and then combo that with the unlensed power spectrum.
Yeah.
Not by sampling variance, so I don't think there's any correlation there.
Unless, I'm just saying, what if the signal here actually is high? So. Yeah. Right. Right. So here's when I said that the Planck data, which are very polite, the TT spectrum wanted a high AL. I apologize for all these curves on here, which I'm only going to use two of them, which is this green curve. So Planck plus WP plus high L. This is just artificially scaling the lensing power that goes into the modeling of the TT spectrum here, this green curve. And this is, so if you ask if you want extra lensing power, the answer is yes at around 2 sigma. And if the same question asked of the lensing power spectrum is this dashed curve here, and you see that it's content with unity. So I mentioned neutrino masses in that last point. And until we had the Planck data, the dominant source of constraints from the CMB on neutrino masses was from how it impacted the early ISW effect. And with Planck, if you marginalize over A lens, you have this constraint on neutrino masses. So that's effectively removing the lensing information in TT. And if you don't do that, if you set AL to its physical value of 1, then you get this constraint on the sum of neutrino masses. So lensing information is very important to this constraint. And then backing up what I said, that there's something odd in combining the two, is if you add in extra information from the, you also add in information from the lensing reconstruction. The lensing reconstruction is pulling you in a different direction, and it ends up loosening the constraint. And that's information that is in the shape of that lensing spectrum. If you remove that shape information and do the analysis, you don't have this pulling out in this way. Right. What's that? This just do one bin. So you assume you. No, you don't. So I've heard about from people in the lending group. So Kareem and.
What Lloyd is saying is that if you do only one bin for the 5-5, you don't get exactly the same answer as if you use the shape. No, but you have some shape. You do have shape information. Why wouldn't you?
The shape really matters. So, right. I wish I had a plot of varying neutrino mass, how that lensing power varies, and. The lensing reconstruction is probing into scales that are larger than the free streaming length, and so there is shape information that you are sensitive to that free streaming length in the shape reconstruction that gets picked up. So there's less suppression at L equals 50 than there is at L equals 200 in the neutrinos.
My question is, you are looking at LF50 and 200, and you say there is more in 50 than in 200, but then why is it not in all ranges in between then?
It is. So what happens with neutrinos is that out at about here, you increase neutrino mass, you actually increase length power a tiny bit, because basically you have dark matter in the cluster. And then out here, you have you have the increased expansion rate, but no clustering, so you're suppressing power. And this point is low enough to be sensitive to that turnover between these two different regimes. And so somewhere out here, you're just uniformly suppressed. This is all this all gets suppressed by increasing neutrino mass. So if right, it's not just this point, but if you look at all these points out here, you want a little bit less power, right, averaged over all of these. Did I get your question there? Now this looks like a segue, but it's actually so I've been thinking about how lensing is affecting the parameter shift, and I was helped out by the Onion in trying to figure this out. So the Onion, we actually made it into the Planck results got into the Onion, which was pretty cool. Astronomers determined that the universe is actually 13.8 billion years old, about 80 to 100 million years older than previously believed, and that it's also a bit wider than once thought. I'm not exactly sure what the wider part means. It may be the lower H naught. I don't know. It may be higher omega matter, so the universe is fatter. I don't know. This is if you don't count dark energy as fat. I mean, but, what do you think? And so she says, how embarrassing. And then asks this other guy, he says, typical, you give birth to a few trillion galaxies and then people just talk about how old and fat you've gotten. And then I was really amazed that, to see this guy come in here. So, which was an interesting reaction to the data. How'd they know to ask him? That was great. So this damping scale is indeed really important, and one way to control it, although not the best, but I had an hour to prepare for this, is to change the number of neutrino species. That changes these scales, and just because I have this and I think it's really cool, here you can see just in a simulated map, you can see how increasing the number of neutrino species is increasing the damping and just washing out structure below the damping scale. A better proxy, so I've been thinking about this shift as related to lensing. The shift in the parameters takes us to a place with greater lensing power. How are these related? Marius Malaya ran a chain with a Planck plus WP, and with a lens varying as well, and calculating this damping scale here, and you can see that these are related. So you can increasing AL pumps out power to smaller scales, and which decreasing the damping scale also does. So these are related as expected.
It goes in the other direction, right? So this is what I've been puzzled about. So you increase ALNs, you pump more power, then you reduce your theta D, and you are also pumping power.
You're right.
So it should be the other way around. And also the NS is doing the same thing. I don't understand. So I don't quite know why this is doing this.
Well, that's really interesting and puzzling then. because what's happening is, for some reason that we don't understand yet, if you do marginalize over A lens, you are this damping scale is coming down, and all over the place you're returning to those WMAP values.
That's right. Yeah. And NS and A lens is also positively correlated, whereas I think it should be negatively correlated. If you think that A lens is pumping more power, right, then you want NS to decrease, not increase. But what the discrepancy shows you is the opposite. So I'm very puzzled by this. There's something is missing. Yeah. I don't understand what the lensing is actually doing.
Well, so there's two different things, right? I mean, there's also the smoothing thing, smoothing out.
Yeah, but that's fairly independent of other parameters.
So we can investigate what's happening with lensing by varying A lensing, AL, and see what's going on. With the damping scale, the thing that you can do is vary YP, and that would remove if you vary YP, that will remove the information. Just artificially let the helium fraction change. That's just about the only thing the helium fraction does is change the damping scale. And here's, again, this is a little more complicated than it needs to be. We're varying both YP and NF. And you can see the damping scale here, color-coded along here. And here's the standard model value. And you can see that actually the Planck data, when asked, do you want any more damping, as opposed to being asked, do you want any more lensing, it doesn't really want, you know, just there's a tiny shift. There's not much at all, right? So this is playing out differently in these two different explanations. So there is a desire going along just this fixed NF line for just a little more damping. We can compare this to what you get from just SPT with the WMAP prior, and you get something consistent, which I understand John Rule spoke here earlier, showing at the map-based level the consistency between Planck and SPT. So this is as expected that these would be agreeing. Of course, the error bar here is about four times smaller. But then, this is certainly related to how this interacts with NS, if we combine with WMAP, then we end up going to this value of the damping scale, although it's still, at the one sigma level, is consistent. So looking at the damping scale as a driver of things, the parameter differences as in entirety from WMAP plus SPT and Planck are quite different, and yet these don't end up being that different. And what's that? Yes. Yeah.
From WMAP to Planck, there is a shift in theta d with respect to theta s, about one sigma value from the Planck error bar.
And in which direction? So it's also
so, to, so Planck damping scale is bigger than the WMAP only damping scale.
So this is taking you.
And also, I think here you should look at maximum likelihood value rather than 1D marginalized. Because we're looking at the tiny effect here, and it makes a difference whether you are taking maximum likelihood, which actually gives you the spectrum, versus the 1D marginalized, which is telling you something else.
If you look at one thing you see here, though, in this combination, is if again you ask the data, do you want even more damping, then there's a more significant preference to go away from here towards higher Y. I'm putting this here because certainly in talking about the parameter shifts as connected to lensing, what Ichiro's pointed out as far as his silk damping explanation is of course highly relevant. And how we can move forward to kind of sort out what's going on is actually look at a chain where both YP and A lens are varying, and see which one there the data are preferring. And although Anthony posted a ridiculous number of chains that maybe some of you have looked through, Anthony, you didn't do YP plus AL. So, but anyway, we'll do that and sort it out. So, you guys don't seem to have really picked up on their, I don't know, you've all been anti-oddity. You're like, ah, so what? So maybe this, but if you were worried about these oddities, thanks. If you were worried about these oddities, then the good news is that we're going to be learning a lot more in the very near future. So, thanks.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Thanks a lot, Lloyd, for this quick insert. And yeah, I have to basically, we are running against time now. So we had already a lot of questions during this last presentation. So let's close the session here now. Thanks a lot again to Lloyd. And yes, then it's lunchtime now.